Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for March the 19th, 2018. This is David Corey along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, good evening, David, and good evening, everyone. We have three special segments in our show tonight. First, we have news from Washington regarding some important veteran issues. Second, we have some information from the VA on the VA's treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. And third, we have some useful information on the VA home loan program. But first, as usual, I'm going to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions. So you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. And remember, veterans, this is the Veterans News Hour. David and I are the messengers. We're your conduit. If you have anything you want to talk about, anything at all, your case maybe before the VA or your friend's case or something you've read, give us a call and let's talk about it. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. But now let's get back to the news and David.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Starting with news from Washington, D.C., this past week, VA Secretary Dr. David Shulkin has faced continuing rumors that he could be fired. Of course, only time will tell what happens, but Dr. Shulkin has his share of both strong supporters as well as detractors. According to a UPI news release from this past Thursday, Secretary Shulkin said Thursday that he thought his department was getting back on track amid rumors that he would be fired. According to the UPI, Dr. Shulkin said he regretted the, quote, distraction, unquote, of media reports earlier in the week, claiming that President Trump was considering firing the VA secretary and replacing him with Energy Secretary Rick Perry, the former Texas governor and a military veteran himself. On Thursday, March 15th, Dr. Shulkin told reporters he had not spoken with President Trump about the rumors. So we'll see what happens. Over to you, Rick.
Thanks, David. In other news from Washington, the head of the Board of Veterans Appeals, Cheryl L. Mason, testified before a House committee this past Thursday on the status of the VA's efforts to implement so-called appeals reform legislation signed into law in August of 2017. According to Ms. Mason, the new system is still in the implementation phase. It provides, in her words, and I quote, a more efficient claims and appeals process for veterans with opportunities for early resolution of disagreements with VA decisions. As David Corey and I have opined in this show on many times over the past year, so we are much more skeptical than Ms. Mason in that assessment. And we have concerns that the new system will not significantly speed things up, but in fact will only make it easier for the VA to deny appeals by encouraging veterans to waive hearings and not submit new evidence in order to get a faster decision, and by removing the VA's legal duty to assist after an initial decision is made. And I wish to add on that in my conversations with some of the decision review offices at the St. Pete Regional Office, many of them are also skeptical about this new this way of resolving these cases. And most of them are saying that the problem they see is that the decisions are less favorable. They may be speeding things up, but the decisions are less favorable. In other words, they're not getting what they might have gotten or deserve to be getting. So, you know, we're going to wait and see how this all plays out because time will only tell. Nevertheless, Ms. Mason testified further that within the Veterans Benefits Administration FY 2019 budget request, $74 million will be used for 605 new appeals processing full-time employees. This increase would, in her words, and I quote, sustain 2,100 full-time employees dedicating to reducing the legacy appeals inventory and reviewing claims decisions under the Modernization Act. The request also follows VBA's realignment of its administrative appeals program under the Appeals Management Office in January 2017 as part of an effort to streamline and improve performance in legacy appeals processing. According to Ms. Mason, the improved focus and accountability resulting from this realignment helped increase VBA appeals production by approximately 24%. These decrease its appeals inventory by 10% and increase its appeals resolution by 10%, resolving over 124,000 appeals during FY 2017. David, you know, if I may just comment on, you know, it's great that they're throwing all these percentages out of resolving cases and moving, I guess, moving the calendar forward, but they don't say anything about what's the substantive result. You know, are these veterans really getting what they're supposed to be getting, or are we just pushing the pile from one side of the desk to the other side of the desk? What are your thoughts?
Well, I completely agree with you. And the statistic you mentioned where the head of the BVA said that they had decreased their appeals inventory by 10%. Well, when you're talking about 450,000 to 500,000 cases that are in some stage of appeal, even if they're reduced by 10%, that remaining 90% is still waiting, you know, 4 to 5 years for each of multiple steps on the appeal. So there's a long way to go in improvement. Now, as far as this Appeals Modernization Act, which was passed by Congress, signed by President Trump last August of 2017, let me give you a quick summary for our listeners' benefit if you're not familiar with it. That legislation created three options, three tracks, if you will, for veterans who are unhappy with the initial decision on their disability claim. So let's say a veteran files a disability claim and it's denied. The VA says, well, your injury is not service-connected. Or they grant service connection, but then they issue a low-ball rating. They give them a 10% rating when a fair evaluation of all the medical records would say, let's say, 50 or 70% rating. So the veteran has to appeal. Under this new legislation, they'll have three options, and I'll go over those just briefly here. The first option is they can seek a higher-level review by the same regional office on the same evidence that was presented to the original claims processors. In other words, they can't submit any new evidence, they can't have a hearing, and those factors suggest to me a very high likelihood of the same unfortunate or bad decision being rubber-stamped, since the new legislation also removes the VA's current legal duty to assist veterans in developing their cases after an initial decision. And furthermore, it's going to be relatively low-level, meaning inexperienced, not particularly sophisticated VA employees who will be the ones making the decisions on that first level of review. That's the first choice. The second choice that veterans will have is they can file a supplemental claim with the regional office that would include the opportunity to submit additional evidence, which to me means there's more time spinning around on the hamster wheel trying to guess what will be enough evidence to satisfy the VA. That's already been a historical problem. The third option is they can skip the higher level review within the regional office and appeal directly to the Board of Veterans Appeals, which is based in Washington, D.C., although their judges will travel to the different regional offices and they will hold hearings by video conference where the veteran is at the regional office and the judge is in Washington. But that third option, they can appeal directly to the Board of Veterans Appeals, resulting in one of two things. They can ask for a hearing and or submit additional evidence. The BVA would have two separate tracks for appeals. The first track would be cases where the veteran doesn't want a hearing and doesn't want to submit new evidence. In other words, they'll appeal but just ask the judge to look at what's already in the file. So that would supposedly be the faster track, as common sense would suggest, because you don't need a hearing, you don't have to wait for additional evidence. Now, The other situation would be cases where the veteran wants a hearing and or wants to submit new evidence, medical records, statements, etc. The problem is the legislation itself does nothing to fix the existing backlog, or what the VA calls legacy appeals. That's an interesting term, but it's the current backlog of somewhere between 450,000 and 500,000 claims currently on some stage of appeal. Now, you just heard Richard Hurley mention the BVA's chief saying that they had reduced that backlog by 10% in the last fiscal year, but still that suggests a huge existing backlog. So those are the three choices. As Richard and I have discussed many times over the past year, it appears to us that this new system, Richard, as you said just a few moments ago, is more likely, if it speeds anything up, it's just going to make it easier for the VA to deny matters. So we'll see. Over to you, Richard.
Thank you, David. In our second segment this evening, we are going to talk about an issue dear to my heart facing many veterans, which is post-traumatic stress. On last week's show, our guest was Jason White, a combat veteran who served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He shared his insights about PTSD and his experience getting treatment at Camp Hope in Houston, Texas. On other shows in the past year, we have had guests talking about other PTSD treatment programs, with many emphasizing veteran peer support and peer counseling. Tonight, we're going to hear from the VA itself. We have some information from the VA's Veterans Health Administration about treatment options for PTSD. Let's listen. Doug, please roll tape one.
So, you've been diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You might be thinking, does therapy for PTSD really work? Or what about medications? Well, there are treatments that work, and you have choices. We're going to show you PTSD treatments that are evidence-based, which means they've been proven to work in multiple scientific studies. Two of the most effective PTSD treatments are cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure. Both are cognitive behavioral therapies, CBT for short. CBT is far from just talking. You'll learn skills to manage your PTSD symptoms. Cognitive processing therapy teaches you how to change negative thoughts about your trauma, which can have a big impact on how you feel. Prolonged exposure helps you confront memories and situations you've been avoiding since your trauma. This gets easier with time, and eventually, you won't need to avoid them. Another effective therapy is EMDR, which involves thinking about images and feelings that distress you while doing rapid eye movements. This can help you change how you react to trauma memories. Therapies like these usually take 3 to 4 months of weekly visits, and improvement can last for years. Medications are another effective option. The best medications for treating PTSD symptoms are antidepressants, specifically SSRIs and SNRIs. Antidepressants work by helping brain cells communicate better, and that can make you feel better. Improvements in your PTSD symptoms will last for as long as you keep taking them. You might have heard about benzodiazepines, or benzos. In the past, doctors prescribed these anti-anxiety medications for PTSD. New research shows anti-anxiety medications may interfere with therapy and do not improve PTSD. These medications can also lead to harmful side effects like confusion, fogginess, and accidents or falls. If you're taking benzodiazepines or other medications with potentially harmful side effects like atypical antipsychotics, talk to your doctor about whether you should safely stop them. There are more effective options for PTSD. It's common to have other problems at the same time you have PTSD, like chronic pain, depression, substance abuse, a history of traumatic brain injury, or insomnia. Often, treatments effective for PTSD can help with these problems too. In other cases, your doctor might suggest an additional treatment. For example, there's a special type of cognitive behavioral therapy called CBTI. The I is for insomnia. CBTI teaches you skills that can improve your sleep, even after just a few therapy appointments. Some antidepressants can help with sleep too, and there is a medication called Prazosin specifically for nightmares. So, where do you start? Talk to your provider about which effective treatment options are right for you. therapy, medications, or maybe both. And remember, it's always important to talk to your doctor before stopping or switching medications. For more information, visit the National Center for PTSD website at www.ptsd.va.gov. To find a mental health provider, click the Get Help for PTSD button or see success stories at About Face.
We thank the VA Veterans Health Administration for that insight about treatment options for PTSD. Richard, what are your thoughts on those options? I know you had a chance to visit Camp Hope in Houston a week ago. What were your impressions of Camp Hope's treatment program?
Well, what I, and we're hearing about this quite a bit now because we've had other treatment facilities, like the program up in New Jersey, the one in Kansas City. And they talk about the peer-to-peer counseling. And I really think that that's seems to be very effective when you're talking to the veterans themselves. Now, the veterans, I think, when it comes to the drugs, they're really weary of the drugs. They almost feel like the VA is just throwing drugs at them without really analyzing, you know, what drug would be most effective for the particular veteran. I know one of the other complaints I heard many times with our clients is, you know, after 6 months, they go back to the VA and they get another psychologist appointed to them, their psychiatrist, and they're taken off the meds that they had been using and put on another group of meds for either depression or anxiety. And when I asked the veteran, well, what was the explanation, the veteran looks at me and says, well, there was none, just that this is what they were going to do. So, you know, I don't understand the whole concept of throwing around the meds. At Camp Hope, what I saw there was a program that is deeply entrenched in the 12-step program, which is very well known around the AA community and NA community, and it's very effective. And it seems that's been very helpful because that provides a lot of group therapy, a lot of introspection, you know, really dealing with the self. Because, you know, as they always say in the programs, and I can relate to this because I made it pretty clear that, you know, I myself am a friend of Bill's for the last 10 and a half years, that, you know, you got to get deep within yourself, try to figure out what's going on, and you can't mask everything with the drugs. So I know I'm kind of long-winded on this thing, but I think that programs like Camp Hope, the one in Kansas City, dealing with helping the veteran help themselves without the use of medication is, to me, the most optimum way we can help our veterans. And because ultimately what we want is we want them to be able to put on their own boots, get out the door, go to work, and be a self-sufficient civilian after all the years that they were in the military. And I know at Camp Hope, the program, you know, you start off, I think Jason mentioned the blacklist, you know, and that's, you're shut down for 30 days, no communication with anybody except your mentor, no family, nothing. And slowly you get into the, communal living, 6 to 8 guys living in one house together, and they cook together, and they have chores and everything else. And ultimately, on the property, they actually have some small facilities, which would be a home, probably about 800 square feet or less. And the veteran then moves into that facility, and then after months there, gradually gets out and hopefully can start fresh again. So that, to me, seems to be the best program. And throwing the drugs on top of I'm not a big fan of the drug thing. How about you, David?
Yeah, well, I appreciate your insight, and I think that, you know, things that you have mentioned are things that anecdotally I've heard from other veterans over the years, which is they sometimes feel that the VA is very quick to prescribe medication instead of other therapies that require more time and effort and more staff. And it's well known the VA is very understaffed on the medical side, including psychological fields. So it's not surprising when veterans may find it difficult to get access. And the Veterans Choice Program, which is supposed to allow the veterans to get care in the private sector, has had its own problems. And meanwhile, Dr. Shulkin and veterans groups and Congress are all trying to sort out how to solve that problem. So that's not been solved yet. So you have access to health care problems, which are a difficulty. And then you have the medication problem. Lots of stories from veterans about they feel that there's just having pills thrown at them, and it's just medicating the symptoms, not getting, as you said earlier, got to get in deeper to solve the problems. And, you know, the tape that we listened from the Veterans Health Administration sounds great, but if you go on YouTube and read the comments about that, you'll see that there's a lot of cynical veterans responding to it. But I wanted to get an opportunity to hear from the VA, from their formal presentation on what the options are. And certainly there are techniques, as we've discussed on earlier shows last year, that are still being developed. So a lot of it also depends on the particular veteran. But it's an issue that requires, I think, a lot of continued attention. Rick, before we leave this subject, I understand that you're interested, based on your experience in touring Camp Hope in Houston, you're interested in starting or helping to start a similar program like Camp Hope in Florida, which has a huge veterans population. Anything you'd like to share with us in that regard?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of ideas in my head, and what I want to do is I want to try to find some land somewhere, either in Marion County, Florida, which is Ocala, Citrus County, which is between the Gulf and Ocala, along the Gulf Coast, Nature's Coast, what they call it. They also have Pasco and Fernando and even Polk. Those are four or five counties that have a lot of land and a lot of space. And you don't really need a lot of land for Camp Hope, I don't think. Camp Hope, as I saw, I think there's about 10 to 15 acres of land there, if that. So I don't think that you really need a lot of land. What you need to have is either the Tampa Airport or the Orlando Airport, so that you can have access, because... just like Camp Hope, you would hopefully have people coming in from out of state. Certainly it's going to be more popular with the local Floridian veterans, but guys like Jason White, we don't have a program like that, and Jason had to fly to Houston, Texas to participate in Camp Hope there. There's no reason we can't do the same thing here. And, you know, I'm really... listen to the people who started it, and it's very doable. And I think David, you and I have talked about a couple of projects for Corey and Hurley, and I think this is one of them that is doable. And you know, with Camp Hope, you know, they didn't they bought the land, but they didn't just all of a sudden have all these buildings on the property. They started with one building, and it's a small building, and that's where their office was, and I think they had a couple of rooms in there for some veterans, and then gradually, as a nonprofit corporation, 501c3, as they started getting more donors, they were able to expand. And, you know, my idea would be to contact people like Camp Hope, kind of get their basic game plan that, you know, when they started the camp, and kind of use that as a model. I mean, no reason to change something that's working, and implement it between the Orlando and Tampa area. I think it would be outstanding, because unfortunately, private citizens have to take it upon ourselves to help these veterans because they're just not getting the help within the VA, especially something like PTSD, which is, the 22 suicides a day for veterans suffering from PTSD and other emotional disabilities. And the VA, I don't want to totally blame them, but, it really requires professional people that can give the time. And the VA just isn't in a position to do the peer-to-peer counseling that we hear that's being implemented at Camp Hope and other programs. One of the things that Jason talked about, which I saw in rehabs, AA rehabs, and that is that the people who end up being mentors actually were residents at one time and went through the system, and then instead of them leaving the facility, they ended up becoming mentors and counselors and on the staff. So it's very doable, and I'm looking forward to finding some land and sitting down and hosting a big dinner and trying to find some of my buddies who have some money and see the same passion and dream that I have.
Yep, I think
that's
great.
So far.
Yeah, I think that's great, and there's so many. What is there, like a 1,500,000 or 600,000 veterans in Florida? It's behind Texas and California has their largest veteran population. And there are a lot of veteran groups. You and I know of many veteran groups. Not all veteran groups share the same viewpoint or have the same mission, but there should be plenty of veteran groups that, as they learn more about Camp Hope, will want to duplicate that in Florida. And I think it's a great, great thing. So thank you for your insight, Richard. And let's move on now to our third segment tonight, which is information about the VA Home Loan Benefit Program. We've talked over the years so much about the disability benefit program. We've never talked about this program. The VA helps service members, those still on active duty, as well as veterans and eligible surviving spouses become homeowners. They have part of the VA's mission, the VA provides home loan guarantee benefit and other housing-related programs to help eligible individuals buy, build, repair, retain, and adapt a home for their own personal occupancy. VA home loans are provided by private lenders, such as banks and mortgage companies. The VA guarantees a portion of the loan, enabling the lender to provide the eligible veteran or service member with more favorable terms. Now, we have four tapes, courtesy of the VA, and we thank them for that, with very useful and practical information about the VA loan benefit. This next clip is about where to start in using your VA home loan benefit. Mr. Mark Connors of the VA Home Loan Guarantee Service will tell us about that. So, Doug, if you could please roll tape two.
This is a topic that I'm passionate about, and I'm going to start off with education. Think about it. When we go out to buy a vehicle or we are going to plan on going on a vacation, we're going to do a tremendous amount of research on that. However, I think too often with home ownership, we don't do the research that is necessary to educate ourselves. There's a saying that I've heard that I really like. It's called know before you owe. And how it relates to the home buying process is that when we rent, we have certain fees that go along with the home. However, home ownership involves fees that we've never thought of. There's taxes, there's insurance, there's maintenance, there's upkeep. What happens if the water heater breaks? Do we have the emergency funds necessary to take care of that problem? One that I would recommend is the CFPB, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They actually have a site that is specifically geared towards veterans and service members, and there's a lot of information about home ownership on that. Another site that I would recommend would be HUD, the Housing and Urban Development. They have great tools on there about home ownership. If you're active duty, I would highly encourage you to make an appointment and go in and see your facility financial counselor. They are there specifically to provide you information as it relates to your finances, and they would be a great resource to help you understand the home buying process and how much that is actually going to cost you. If you're no longer in the military, I think it might be very prudent to consult a financial advisor or financial planner, specifically letting them know that you are interested in purchasing a home and you want to find out how much of a home that you can afford.
I think that's great information. So next question would be, what are some of the major benefits of the VA Home Loan Program? There are quite a few benefits, and Mr. Connors of the VA Home Loan Guarantee Service will now explain those benefits. Doug, if you'll roll tape 3, please.
VA Guaranteed Loan Program, it's actually a benefit. It's a benefit that veterans have earned. The mission of Loan Guarantee Service is to help veterans attain, retain, and adapt their homes. Let's talk about some of the benefits. Probably the one that comes to mind first is it's 100% financing. As far as I know, that's the only program out there that you can get 100% financing on. And what that really means is that you don't have to make a down payment. Another significant benefit that the program offers is that with a VA loan, you don't pay PMI, or private mortgage insurance. And holy cow, that will save you a lot of money over the course of your loan. Another tremendous benefit has to do with the appraisals. And the appraiser goes out, and in addition to determining the value of the home, one of the things that the appraiser does is helps ensure that the home is safe, sound, and sanitary. And that goes back to being a benefit. We don't want to put a veteran in or their family into a home unless it is safe, sound, or sanitary. Retention, homeownership retention, was one of our primary missions. Well, if a veteran were to experience financial difficulty down the road, perhaps there was a temporary period of unemployment, VA will work with the borrower and the lender, and we will bring to bear all tools that we have available to us in order to help the veteran and their family members stay in that home. And one other thing that I would like to mention, and this is not so much a benefit that is associated with VA loans, but I think it's important to note that state and local taxing authorities often provide tax relief benefits to veterans, and particularly veterans that have suffered disabilities and are in receipt of service-connected disability income. And so I would encourage all veterans, whether they use their VA home loan or another home loan product, to check with your local and state taxing authorities to see what benefits may be available to you. And again, the home loan program, it's a benefit that you have earned, and we try to ensure that as many benefits, as many veterans as possible are able to take advantage of this tremendous benefit.
That's more great information. Thank Mr. Connors for that. And an important question about the VA Home Loan Program, first of all, is determining your eligibility. So let's hear what Mr. Mike Frue of the VA has to say on that particular issue. Doug, if you'll roll tape 4.
Veterans, service members, and certain surviving spouses. Basically, since the beginning of the Gulf War era veterans, virtually anyone that served in the military for 90 days or more is eligible for a VA home loan. Military spouses don't necessarily have eligibility. If they're still married, they would certainly have eligibility through their spouse. Surviving spouses, in certain situations where the veteran or the service member died because of something that happened related to their active duty, like an injury sustained during wartime or a service-connected injury that caused their death, they would be eligible as well. Now, for veterans that have served in the last 20 to 30 years, we have a lot of records directly from DOD. So when lenders go to check a veteran's eligibility, or a veteran goes online on eBenefits to check their eligibility, they can find out in seconds whether they're eligible, and they can print their certificate of eligibility right away. If you're interested in a VA loan, talk to your realtor. The realtor is the person that you spend the most time with in your home purchase transaction. You're driving around with them looking at different homes. You're looking at a lot of different options, and they've been in this. They've done a lot of home purchase transactions over their lifetime, whereas the average person does this once or twice, and it's a large transaction for someone. Other resources are VA itself. We have a website that has contact information that you can use to call your nearest regional loan center. And every single regional loan center is staffed with loan guarantee VA personnel who know everything about the program and can answer questions from beginning to end, everything that you're going to face in this process of getting a VA home loan. And third, you should talk to banks. The lenders themselves know a lot about the program, especially lenders that focus on the VA home loan program, and they know all the ins and outs, and they've worked with VA. They've worked with a lot of veterans and a lot of service members like you that are trying to start this process. So they've got answers because they've gone down this path before.
One thing that Mike Frui, the VA, just said is it's very helpful to understand the role of realtors and lenders, the role that they play in helping a veteran or a service member buy a home through the VA home loan program. So let's, on this final tape, let's listen to some advice from Mr. Mark Connors of the VA on those particular topics.
One of the things that you want to do, and there's, you can ask, well, what do you do first? Do you go to a lender first, or do you go to a realtor first? The reason that I would recommend going to a lender first is that, say, for example, I did not do that, but rather I went with a realtor, and I tell the realtor, well, I would like to start looking at homes in the $200,000 price range. And I may spend a period of several days or a couple weeks looking at homes at the $200,000 level. If then I go see my lender, and my lender says, well, Mark, congratulations, you have good credit and you qualify. However, because of your debt and because of your income, we're only going to be able to qualify you for a home in the $175,000 range. I'm never going to find that dream home that I found in the $200,000 price range. Speaking of the lender, what I would also strongly encourage veterans to do is to get pre-approved with your lender. Now, there are two different types of approval. One is referred to as pre-qualification. The other is pre-approval. The difference is that the pre-qualification is based on nothing more than a discussion that you have with your lender. The lender is not substantiating any of the income that you inform the lender that you have, nor are they pulling your credit. With a pre-approval, what that does is that gives the lender the actual documents, your income documents, perhaps your W-2, perhaps your tax returns. They pull your credit, and so they're able to tell you with a pretty good accuracy how much of a home that you can afford. And I think also, in today's market, you're going to find that most realtors are going to strongly encourage you to get pre-approved prior to looking at homes as well. And just as I recommended interviewing a couple different lenders, I would recommend you do the same thing with the realtors. Interview a couple different realtors and find one that is familiar with the geographical region that you're wanting to purchase in. You'll be able to find out from the realtors what the school districts are like. They'll be able to answer all your questions and guide you to the home that you want to purchase.
Well, that's more helpful information to members that are still in the military as well as veterans and their families. Again, in summary, what are the various benefits? Let me summarize those in a bit more detail. You have purchase loans. You have interest rate reduction refinance loans. There's a special program for Native American veterans. There's adapted housing grants. And then there's other state tax benefits. Let me talk first about the purchase loan. They help you purchase a home at a competitive interest rate, often without requiring a down payment or private mortgage insurance. Cash-out refinance loans help you take cash out of your home equity and to take care of concerns like paying off debt, funding school, or making home improvements. Another part of the program is the Interest Rate Reduction Refinance Loan Program. It's also called the Streamline Refinance Loan Program. It can help you obtain a lower interest rate by refinancing your existing VA loan. The Native American Direct Loan Program helps eligible Native American veterans refinance the purchase, construction, or improvement of homes on federal trust land or reduce the interest rate on a VA loan. And then finally, adaptive housing grants. I've known a few veterans that have used this. They help veterans with a permanent and total service-connected disability purchase or build an adapted home or to modify an existing home to help take account of for their disability. And also, as I said, many states offer resources to veterans, including property tax reductions for certain veterans, typically for disabled veterans. Now, as far as your eligibility requirements, your length of service or service commitment, your duty status and character of service, character of discharge, can determine your eligibility for specific home loan benefits. For the purchase loans and cash out refinance program, they're available for homes for your occupancy or spouse and or a dependent for active duty service members. To be eligible, you must have satisfactory credit, sufficient income to meet the expected monthly obligations, and a valid certificate of eligibility, or COE. For the Interest Rate Reduction Refinance Program, which is sometimes called VA to VA loan, meaning it can only be done if you have an existing VA guaranteed loan on the property, this refinance loan program is generally performed to lower the interest and reduce the monthly payment on an existing VA guaranteed loan. Now, for the Native American Veteran Direct Loan Program, this helps those veterans purchase, construct, improve, or refinance a home on Native American trust lands. The veterans' tribal organization must participate in the VA direct loan program, and you must have a valid certificate of eligibility. And then finally, for adapted housing grants, the VA will help veterans with certain total and permanent disabilities related to the military service obtain suitable housing with either a specially adapted housing, what they call SAH, or special housing adaptation, SHH grant. Now, there's a lot of details in these beyond the scope of our show tonight, but the good news is there's lots of information, a lot of details on specifics on eligibility and the application process on the VA Home Loan Benefit Program. Visit the VA website, va.gov, and you'll see towards the very bottom of the page some links that you can find out more information. So I hope this topic has been helpful. A few weeks back, we had Mark Fields from Arizona, who's in the mortgage banking industry. He gave us some insights from his perspective on VA loans, but I thought this show tonight would be a good opportunity to go into more detail and to hear things from the VA perspective. So I hope it's been useful. And before I turn it over to Richard for further thoughts, I do want to remind our listeners that if you have any comments on any of the issues we've talked about tonight, whether it's the current news from Washington, whether it's the post-traumatic stress treatment programs, perhaps your own experience or experience of people you know, or the VA home loan program, give us a call tonight. We've got about 12 more minutes left in the show. Our toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. We look forward to your call at 1-888-627-6008. So give us a call. Over to you, Richard.
Well, that's great. That's super information there, David. You know where you dug all that stuff up, but I tell you, that's really good stuff. You know, get going and kind of following along with the PTSD stuff we were talking about. You know, I think it's every veteran's goal when they finally get out of the service and if they're struggling with issues like PTSD and other physical handicaps, their goal is to get out and be able to participate in the civilian world, which means, you know, having their own home. And the programs that you were talking about really, you know, give them that opportunity. So that's good stuff. And thanks for digging all that research up for us. I guess we should talk about our coaching in the care. We always bring this up at every show because it's very important. The Coaching and the Care program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching and the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call toll-free at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching and the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I would like to once again remind our listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Or 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Also on that same note, for any families of veterans who you feel might benefit from a program like Camp Hope, you should definitely, you can Google them, Camp Hope, Houston, Texas, and look into possibly having your family member, veteran, become a resident there. That program goes from anywhere 30 days all the way out to 6-9 months, almost a year, depending on the veteran. And I met a lot of veterans who had some nice one-on-one conversations when I was at Camp Hope. And, you know, this business about a veteran in crisis is a very real thing. You know, I cannot overemphasize that. David, you've seen it. You know, you're a veteran yourself. You know what these men and women go through. And we all handle stress differently. Some can cope very well and others can't. Keep all this stuff in mind. As David and I keep talking about this stuff week on and week on, you know, take notes, take phone numbers, you know, help your veteran. If you have a neighbor who's a veteran, help your veteran. And if your veteran's in crisis, you know, reach out. Again, that number, is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, David.
Yeah, thanks. And I'd like to kind of echo what you said, Richard. The one thing that our guest last week, Jason White, said about Camp Hope, if I recall correctly, was that once he called them, they had him on a plane within just a few days flying out there at no expense to himself. So they made it as easy as possible and as quick as possible. No bureaucracy taking weeks before you get out there, which is really important for veterans in a crisis. You know, we've had over the last year, we've had two guests on our show that were affected by veteran suicides, the mom of one veteran and the brother of another veteran who lost the battle fighting PTSD at the end of their lives. It happens, and even if veterans return from the military service pretty much unscathed, they may know veterans that do, but they certainly know the military experience, and they might be in a good position to help out in some way. But first of all, it's important that they know that there is help out there, and the VA's Coaching into Care program is one of those. That's why we think it's important. We mention every single week on this show Coaching into Care is important, as well as the Veterans Crisis Line. Now, as far as Camp Hope, they're associated with the PTSD Foundation of America. Their website is PTSDUSA.org. That's PTSD for post-traumatic stress disorder, USA.org. One of our guests on our September 11, 2017 show was David Malsby, the executive director. Go back and listen to our archive podcast of his interview, and he tells us about the history, but also the current mission and goals of Camp Hope. And then on last week's show, March the 12th, as we've discussed already, our guest was Jason White, combat veteran who has just recently successfully completed, five months, at Camp Hope, and
they
had great things to say about it.
They went in October and came home this past Friday.
Yeah, so he gave a great, great reviews, rave reviews, and that's why, we're so impressed with it and think that it's something that it needs to expand. But support.
If I may add one more note on that, David.
Yeah.
I mentioned this when he was on our show. When I got there, I hadn't seen Jason in quite a while. I see all my vets quite regularly, but Jason had been in Houston, so I guess I hadn't seen him for 6-7 months. And when I got to the door and I went inside, I went to their service, which had just started. And there were about 80 veterans in this big room. And first thing that I thought of was, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to recognize him. Well, fortunately, he was talking to somebody he was about 10 feet away from me, and we spoke on the phone quite regularly. And when I heard his voice, I kind of threw the name Jason into the center of where the voice was coming from, and he turned and gave me a big hug. I could not believe how much he had, how healthy he looked. That's what I'm looking for. He looked so healthy. He was working out regularly. It was just the transformation over 7 months was just outstanding. So he is an example of what can happen to a veteran who has suffered the kind of combat stuff that he did, IEDs and all sorts of other things that he has described to us, and to see him so healthy, and she still has a long way to go, as you said on the show, but great stuff. Back to you, David.
Yeah, and what comes to my mind, we've had guests on our prior show that have talked about the process that a person goes through when they join the military, kind of the military indoctrination, cynics, or those that are not real fans of the military would call it brainwashing, but it's basically how you transform an 18 or 19 year old who's been brought up to not take risks, to treat others with respect, and not to hurt other people, how to turn them into essentially a trained killer in the name of their country, and the psychological changes that a person goes through in that transition, and then particularly those that serve in combat and that are involved in everything that you can imagine happens in combat, the predictable things, but also the chaos and the horrible things. And Richard, you and I hear this all the time from the veterans that we help. Some of the stories that from war, particularly when civilians have been unintentionally, have been killed, but just the sheer horror of war and the effect it has. So the perspective that I see, as you describe Camp Hope, is it has a structure, it has a discipline, it has the same buddy care, buddy support, but it's essentially reversing the process that they went into in becoming, soldiers, or Marines, or sailors, or airmen, whatever the service was. But it's doing it in the same process, the same military skills, but with discipline and peer support to help them kind of undo the damage and also start making a successful transition back to civilian life. So I think what Camp Hope is doing is a great thing. And it also includes an element that you don't see in the VA. And this is not to, promote a particular religious view, but, they have talked about kind of the spiritual aspect. And you can't divorce a human being's spiritual side from everything else, and that's certainly not something that the VA can do a whole lot, at least as much of. But it's a great program, and hopefully we'll get something moving in the state of Florida, and perhaps other veteran groups around the country may when they learn more about what Camp Hope is doing, decide to replicate it. So our time's about up for tonight. We'd really like to thank our listeners, like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We'd invite listeners to become show guest sponsors and advertisers in the future. Please tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, hope you have a great week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.